I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Hello and welcome to The Best in the World with Richard Parr. We've got another world champion for you on this week's episode. But before I tell you about him, I want to tell you about Patreon. Patreon is a crowdfunding website and it gives talented creators the chance to get funded for their projects. And I've decided to put The Best in the World with Richard Parr on Patreon, giving you the chance to give back to what we do. All you got to do is go to patreon.com/best in the world. And there you can support our show from as little as $1 a month. I think that works out at about 25 cents an episode. And you can, of course, contribute more if you'd like. And we've got different layers and different levels of patronage that you can do for our show. So if you'd like to become a patron, if you would like to support The Best in the World with Richard Parr, please head to patreon.com/best in the world. If you've already supported our show, I thank you very, very much. It really, really means a lot to me. All right, this week I am speaking to the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu world champion and now UFC fighter Antonio Carlos Jr. Antonio was the winner of UFC's Ultimate Fighter Brazil 3, and he talks about the different transferable skills that he needs to master the different martial arts, and he also talks about how his need to personally improve his wrestling. He talks about how he learned jiu-jitsu with Junior Dos Santos, a UFC superstar. He talks about learning to speak English and his favorite shows on Netflix. We talk about all of these different things, but one of the real eye-opening parts of this interview is when he talks about how he found meditation, and he is really open and he reveals on this podcast about how he was getting panic attacks after he lost a very close friend, and that eventually led him to meditation. A really revealing and open conversation with the UFC fighter and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu world champion Antonio Carlos. So let's not wait any longer. Let's get to my interview this week on The Best in the World.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Antonio Carlos Jr., welcome to The Best in the World with Richard Parr. You've had an amazing career so far, and you've got even more great things to come, I'm sure. But let's start from the very beginning. Let's get an insight into your early life and when you first got interested in martial arts, please.
Yeah, so I started in martial arts. I was around 15 years old, you know. Some guys doesn't know me and Junior Dos Santos, we start training together, you know, we start doing jiu-jitsu in Salvador, Bahia, in Brazil. And the next year I start, you know, like competing in jiu-jitsu, and I got the world champion in juvenile. And then I just love martial arts, you know, I love jiu-jitsu, keep my career in jiu-jitsu until 2012. I said to myself that 2012 would be my last year competing in jiu-jitsu, and then I'm going to start training MMA. And that's what I did, you know. I just was back to Bahia again, start training boxing with Luis Doria and Junior again. And, you know, after 6 months, I did my first fight, you know, and more six 6 months, I get into the Ultimate Fighter, you know, so it was pretty fast.
You said you didn't start Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu until you were 15. Did you do any other sports before then?
Oh, a lot of sports, a lot of sports. I'm so super active guy, you know. I was young and I never stopped. So my mom always put me in a lot of sports, you know, like soccer, basketball, I used to swim, volleyball, tennis, a lot of things, man. I did a lot of things.
Were you good at all of them?
No, not all of them. Like soccer was like the worst one playing, you know. And it's strange because soccer is like a, you know, like a Brazilian sport. Mm. But I never been good in soccer, you know. And I was good swimming, you know. I was pretty good. I compete some, you know, some tournaments. But it's kind of, I get boring, you know, with swimming. Mm. I want something more, you know, that I can, you know, like talk to the other guys and, I don't know how to say, but more funny, you know. Mm. So I found this in jiu-jitsu, and then I just love jiu-jitsu, man.
Yeah, what do you think was the difference then that made you good at jiu-jitsu compared to the other sports? What was it about the sport or about yourself that made you quickly become a world champion?
I think for sure the dedication, you know, like I always being so intense in everything. I always be intense, you know, everything I do, I'm intense. So once I start training jiu-jitsu, I train like every day, you know, we start training like 2 times a day. And I was just 15, you know, and I think that I do what I love, you know, I don't just do it. I love what I do. You know, this is not to work for me, you know. And this is very important. I like my Monday, my Tuesday, my Wednesday, not just the weekend. You know what I mean? Mm. So this is, I think these make me improve my game, you know, and get better.
Mm. It's almost as if that your work is not a job. It's your life.
That's it. My work's not a job. It's my life, you know, and I love doing this. I don't want to do another thing in my life, you know. I don't imagine I'm doing, like, I'm in the office or doing whatever, you know. That's my life. I love this.
Mm. So when you made the transition to mixed martial arts and you, like you said, you were a world champion in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and then you started doing boxing, were there any particular processes in training or things that you knew from, okay, I got good at Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu because I did things this way, that you were able to then do to boxing and potentially other martial arts, things which would make you learn them faster? Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Like, I have the, like, my body is... As I always, like, do a lot of sports, you know, it's easy to get the moves, you know, it's easy to absorb these things, you know what I mean?
Mm.
So, for sure, it's kind of different sport because jiu-jitsu is more, like, strength and power, and boxing is more, you got to be fast and, you know. But, as I said, like, as I always did a lot of sports, make it easy to understand, you know, and to improve my boxing, you know. And for sure, I count as, like, a good guy, you know. Like, Junior was with me, showed me, like, the how to boxing, you know. My coach in Luis Dória was, he's a really good coach, so was easier, you know, around these guys.
Mm. What level are you in various martial arts right now? You've mentioned jiu-jitsu, you've mentioned boxing. What else would you say you're pretty skilled at the moment?
I try to improve my wrestling, you know, because, like, I'm a jiu-jitsu guy, but to work on my jiu-jitsu, I got to put the guy down and work my jiu-jitsu, right? So wrestling is a transition, and it's very important to improve, because I think the wrestling, like, this game, like, the grappling fight makes you tired, you know, so you got to be fluent. And I try to work on my wrestling, you know, the positions to get into the ground, and work on my jiu-jitsu. So I have some, you know, like a lot of good guys here, American Top Team, like Steve Mako, he's our Olympic guy, King Mo, and Mike Brown, a lot of good guys helped me, you know, with my wrestling. Dean Thomas, he used to be like a boxing jiu-jitsu guy too, so he's my head coach today. And I think that the wrestling is the transition to the jiu-jitsu, so I try to improve a lot.
It's interesting. Recently on this podcast, I've spoken to Dan Severin and I've also spoken to Bas Rutten. And it was really interesting because Dan Severin's background was wrestling. And he said because of his background in wrestling, a little bit like you, he was able to pick up all the other disciplines and sports pretty quickly. But he said the wrestling was the core of his success. And it was interesting when I spoke to Bas Rutten recently, he also said that he was skilled in everything, but was weak at wrestling. He lost to, I think it was to Frank Shamrock. And then he was like, I'm going to get my wrestling good. And after he then just focused solely on the wrestling, he went 22 fights unbeaten. So it's interesting to hear that from you. Of you're actually now doing something similar to him. So it's pretty interesting. So give us an idea right now then, Antonio, of what is a typical day in your life?
You know, every day I work around, I wake up around like 8:30, you know, go make my breakfast and stuff, get ready. I like to meditate, you know, and I like the gratitude meditation, you know. I always wake up and feel grateful for my life, for everything around me, you know, my family, my friends, my training, my work, my, you know, everything. After this, I, you know, take a shower, go to the gym, and I used to train until like 1:30, you know, like 1 o'clock, 12:30. It depends on the day, you know. Then sometimes I go to have lunch with my friends and rest a little bit, you know, because the training is always hard. And then I go to the gym again, you know. My schedule changes sometimes because it depends who I'm going to fight, you know. So I change what I'm doing. Usually my morning training is almost the same, you know. Monday is wrestling, Tuesday and Thursday spar, you know. Wednesday boxing, Friday jiu-jitsu, and Saturday is like it's a light spar, you know, like just I put the small gloves and do some moves, you know, some transitions like strike through wrestling to the ground, some things like this. I keep this train, you know, but the late train is a little different. You change depending on who you're going to fight.
I'd like to talk a bit more about the meditation you mentioned. How long have you been doing that? And can you just give us a little bit more information in what you mean by the gratitude meditation? Is that something you're saying out loud? Is it something you're writing? And how long are you meditating for each day?
Yeah, you know, a lot of guys doesn't know I had like a panic attack, you know, so it was a pretty hard time for me. I had this in 2011. I was just 21 years old and it was a pretty hard time, you know, so I always had to control myself, you know, and know about myself, you know, try to keep calm, don't get stressed. So I always run, you know, from stress. I don't want to be involved in stress and, you know, and always try to look to the life, you know, as a gift, you know. The life is a gift, and, you know, we always have something to be grateful, you know. I can look to my niece and be grateful for this, you know, and I think gratitude was the key to the happiness. You know, sometimes you get too involved in the stress, in the rush, you know, in the life, and just forget about the simple things. So I just wake up and try to be grateful about my things, you know, about what I do, about my family, about my friends, you know, the people around me, my coaches, you know. So this make me this makes me feel happy, you know, this changes my day, you know, I feel like my day is going to be awesome, and it's almost always like this, you know, it's always, almost always awesome day, you know, because I just feel grateful for this.
Did the panic attack happen while fighting, while competing, Antonio?
Not competing. It was like, at the time I lost a friend, you know, he was killed in Brazil. And I just saw that the thing happening in front of me, you know, like, and that thing like make me, you know, make me realize how life is like, like he was with me like one day before, and then out of the blue he just was died, you know, he just died. So I said, man, how can it happen, you know, he was okay like yesterday, and now he's here at the floor bleeding, you know, dead. So that I don't know what's happened in my life, in my brain, but I just started thinking about this, you know, and then I started having the panic attack and stuff.
Mm.
Well, it was a pretty hard time.
And meditation was what helped you get through it, right?
Yeah, the meditation therapy, you know, psychologist, and I had to take some medicine at the time. You know, that was important for me. And, you know, like my family, my friends, everybody understand me, you know, and try to help. Because it's hard to understand, like, you just think you're going to die for no reason, you know. And they said, man, come on, just relax and stuff. But it's not like this. It's more chemical. It's your brain. There's a serotonin.
Serotonin,
yeah, in your brain. So it's not the same level from the, you know, from usually, you know.
Mm.
So I think you need the medication.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Thanks.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
More from Antonio in just a moment, but I want to say about Audible. Audible is one of the leading suppliers of audiobooks in the whole world. Yes, 180,000 titles for you to choose from, and even more than that. One of the audiobooks that I've been listening to is 10% Happier by Dan Harris. You might know him as a newsreader in the United States, and he talks about his personal journey in this book on Audible. And you can check it out for free as part of a 30-day free trial with Audible. All you got to do is go to audibletrial.com/best. There you'll get the chance to download one book for free. And you can tell me if it's any good by sending me a tweet at Richard_Parr. But that website, one more time, is audibletrial.com/best. Go and check it out. You are able to download books onto your iPad, your iPhone, your Kindle, or an MP3 player, all with Audible. All right, let's return to the conversation with the UFC fighter Antonio Carlos Jr.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Let's talk about your transition to MMA, in particular Ultimate Fighter, which you were very successful at. How did that all come about to begin with? What happened?
I always wanted to fight MMA, you know. I always see the UFC and stuff, and I always wanted to try that. You know, I didn't know how it was going to be, you know. I just wanted to. And I knew some guys, you know, like Junior Dos Santos. We just started training together. I was 15, he was 21 at the time, and he was the world champion, you know. So I said, man, I want to start doing this, you know. He said, man, come here, let's train together, you know. You can help me with the jiu-jitsu, I can help with the boxing. And I said, yeah, man, I'm going to do this. And I was living in Australia at this time. He was there for some, the Ultimate Fighter promotion, you know. And he said, yeah, man. And then we talk a lot about this. And I said, man, when I get back to Brazil, we're going to train together for sure. And then I went to, you know, Salvador, Bahia, started training boxing then. And as I said, after 6 months, I did my first MMA fight. And then, like, after a month, I did my second fight. And I went with him for the fight with Velasquez, the third fight, you know. And I just saw in the, you know, that was going to be the Ultimate Fighter show in Brazil. Mm. And it would be like a middleweight and heavyweight. And I said, yeah, man, I need to go. I want to go there, you know. But I need a third fight. And I had just two fights. So Luis Doria, he set up some fight for me. You know, I got my third fight. I won the third fight. I went for the trials, you know, tryouts for the Ultimate Fighter. And I was in. I said, no way, I'm going to go, you know. And my first fight to get into the house, I just knocked some good guy out, you know, and was in a heavyweight, but I never been a heavyweight. So was pretty tough, you know. So the guys look at me and said, man, I thought this guy was jiu-jitsu, you know, but I knocked a good guy out. So it was an awesome time.
When you got into the house, you got into the competition, did you believe that you could win it?
Yeah, for sure. We always have to win. Yeah, we always have to think about this. We always have to believe on ourselves, right? Mm. And I knew it would be hard, you know, like, there are good guys, you know, really tough guys. And my way to the wasn't easy, you know. I just fought like with tough guys. My first fight was tough, you know. For sure, I was tense, you know, because like the guy was bigger than me. I was like, what, like 210 pounds. The guy was like 240, 250, you know. So what was hard, but you know, I tried to use my. I knew I was faster than that guys, so I tried to use it, you know. And I knocked this guy in my first fight inside the house. I knocked out the guy in 11 seconds. And I feel like confident, you know. And I feel really confident about that, you know, all in the first round. And the third fight, the same final was with Marcos Rogério. He's a really big and tough guy, you know. And I fought him and I submitted him. I said, man, I'm going to win this show, you know. This show is mine. I thought to myself, man, this show is mine. And I think I did a really great job, you know, fighting Vitor Miranda. He's an experienced fighter, you know, good striking guy. But even though I did a great job, you know, with my teammates, and we get the show.
So you won that show, and then your first fight for UFC following that, it was a loss, it was a defeat, one of only two in your career. Was part of that defeat because you were you in any ways overconfident a bit because of your success from The Ultimate Fighter?
No, that fight, I was like, I was still, even winning the show, you know, The Ultimate Fighter, I have no experience in fighting, you know, MMA. And I was in UFC, like the best fighters in the world was fighting over there, you know, and Patrick Cummins was a really great fight. He's a really great fight, you know, his experience and, you know, fight with tough guys. So I think I needed more experience fighting, you know, and that makes me lost, you know, because I fought with good guys inside the house, but I think I need more strategy. I need more wrestling, as I said before, you know. He was a great wrestler, and I never fought with a great wrestler before. You know, I always try to take the guys down. Nobody tried to take me down, you know, because they know I'm a jiu-jitsu guy. And you have no history in wrestling Brazil, right? So he did a great job, you know, and I lost. And the other reason, you know, that wasn't my way, you know. Like, I was fighting, like, losing, like, 5 pounds to fight, you know. He was much bigger than me, stronger than me. And then I realized after that fight that I gotta go down, you know, lose some weight and go to the middleweight. And that's what I did.
I want to talk again a bit more about your daily routine, and you mentioned having a little bit of sleep during the day. Is that easy for you to do when, as you mentioned earlier, you are an active person, you like doing lots of different things? Are you someone who can just get that afternoon nap, a little bit of rest?
Oh, no, I'm jealous from these guys, you know. I just read, I'm addicted on Netflix, you know, I watch a lot of series, you know. But in the middle of the day, I cannot sleep. It's very hard to sleep in the middle of the day, you know, because I'm so active. But, like, at the end of the day, I just, you know, close my eyes and sleep easy like this, you know. But in the middle of the day, it's like I just, at least I lay down a little bit, you know, watch some movies, some series, or, you know, read some book, you know, at least try to, you know, rest a little for the next train, right? I think it's really hard to sleep, you know. Some guys go easy. I'm jealous of this.
So what series should we be watching on Netflix then, Antonio?
At the moment, I'm watching the Sons of Anarchy. Sons of Anarchy. Yeah, I love this. I watch a lot of, you know, a lot of series. A lot of series, you know, like Breaking Bad, Walking Dead, Lost, Orange is the New Black. Everything. I watch everything.
Yeah, I was just watching a bit of Daredevil before I got onto this call with you.
That's the way that I like. I do study English, you know. I'm a Brazilian, and that's how I you know, I learn English, like watching TV and try to talk to the guys here. But that's how I try to improve my English, you know, watching TV and series.
Yeah, because you're in Florida right now, and you mentioned you were living in Australia for a little bit.
Yeah, I was in Australia, but wasn't that long, you know, and I'm always around a lot of Brazilians, you know. Like, I went to Australia because I had a friend in Australia. He's a Brazilian too. We used to study together in Brazil, you know, and he was living in Australia at the moment. And he called me for seminars and stuff. So I was in Australia, you know, and now I'm in Florida. But the thing is, here there's a lot of Brazilians, you know, a lot of Brazilians. Even in American Top Team, there's a lot of Brazilians. So I always talk in Portuguese. So this makes hard to, you know, to improve my English. So watching series is the way I found to, you know, to practice a little more.
Yeah, I think you need to force yourself outside your comfort zone a little bit more with that. And not that I can say anything. I lived in Madrid for over a year and spent my time speaking to people in English and spending my time in Irish pubs. So I know exactly where you're coming from there. It's very easy to do that. You mentioned there also about reading books. Are there any particular books that you'd ever recommend anyone?
No, I was just reading the Ronda Rousey book, you know, about her life and stuff. It's a good one, you know, and I like the biographies, you know, and there's a lot of good books, you know. I just read the running guy, Usain Bolt, you know, Usain Bolt.
Yep.
This guy is crazy. This guy is awesome. So I just read his book and it was really great.
It sounds like you're doing similar to what we do on this podcast by trying to learn from the very best, from the world champions, from the Olympic champions, to help improve what you're doing. So that's fantastic. So you're on a pretty good streak at the moment in the UFC. 3 wins in a row as we speak. What is your current goal for the next year, Antonio?
Yeah, you know, I'd like to do like 2 more fights this year. You know, I just asked a fight with David Branch, you know, and I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but, you know, I'd like to fight with a top 10 guy, you know, because I think, you know, like 20 streak is like, it's good, you know, but I'd like to get some top 10, you know, I want to go to the top. And I'd like to fight him, and if I win, I want to get another guy, a good guy, because I want the belt, you know. And I know I'm ready for this, you know. I'm already, I have the experience I need, you know. I told you before, I need the experience, so now I already have, you know. I know how to fight, I know how to train, I know what to do, you know. Everybody can lose inside the cage, you know, for sure, but, you know, now I know what to do, and I know I can fight with the best guys in the world. Mm. So I want to top 10 and go to the top.
Fantastic. Tell us about your nickname, Antonio, and where that came from.
Oh, yeah. That was a friend of mine. You know, he's so fun guy. He likes to put a nickname in everybody. And I look at him, he has a big chin, you know, and I call him an Egyptian chin. And he said, man, look like a chin, look like a face, it looks like a shoe. You know, and everybody started calling me shoe face, and man, stop calling me this, you know. And when you said that, I said that, everybody, like, they didn't stop for sure, you know. They started calling me shoe face, and, you know, now I'm okay with this.
So you're happy with that nickname?
I'm not happy, but I'm okay, you know. The good thing is nobody forgot. You know, it's like, it's a fun nickname, so nobody forgot about my nickname.
Exactly. Well, it's been so good to talk to you, Antonio. Thank you so much for being on the program today. Before you go, can you let us know where we can find you on social media and continue to follow your journey, please?
Oh, yeah, for sure. First of all, thank you so much for inviting me for this. It's my pleasure. And you can find me in the social media as a cara de sapato. It's the same thing as shoe face, you know, it's in Portuguese. Cara de sapato, CaraDeSapato Junior. You know, so you're going to find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And that's it, guys. Thanks so much. Appreciate it again. And that's it. Let's go.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for being on the show. And thank you for being the best in the world.
Thanks so much, man. Appreciate it.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Good stuff there with Antonio. And if you like your MMA and you like your UFC, well, you'll love some of the interviews I've done with some UFC legends. Yes, previously on The Best in the World with Richard Parr, I've spoken to Ken Shamrock, Dan Severin, and Bas Rutten. They're all on the archives. They're all available at sportacino.com. They're all available at acast.com/best. And they are all there on iTunes. And if you haven't already, please press the subscribe button on iTunes and give us a rating and review. If you've got a few moments, please, I'd really, really appreciate it. All right, that's it for this week's episode. Again, if you'd like to support our show, please head to patreon.com/bestintheworld. But I will be back with you next week learning from another amazing sports person. Until then, have a great week. Goodbye.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.